Good morning, Chelveston, Caldecott and Chelston Rise. It's Monday the 23rd of March and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Briefing. Well, today's shaping up to be another lovely spring day just like yesterday. And gosh, don't we need it. It was lovely to see so many people out in their gardens yesterday shouting over the garden fence whilst of course staying the necessary 2 metres apart. Lots of families were also walking about the village, but again, staying apart. So unlike London, this village seems to be listening to the public health messages. Thank you. Now the sharp-eared amongst you will notice that I'm not speaking from the church today. I'm now in the village hall and I'll explain why a little later. So let's look at what happened yesterday in the village and what an amazing day it was, full of heartwarming stuff. Well, the start of my day was taken up by preparations for the broadcast of the online service, which is the first ever for this village. On Saturday, we'd rehearsed the technology and worked out how Michelle and the team needed to adapt the Eucharist to suit the new medium. As usual, Michelle was really enthusiastic and was very keen to spread the word of the broadcast far and wide across the diocese. Now, understandably, I was a little bit more cautious and asked her to play it low-key for the first experimental broadcast in case we had problems. Sure enough, little gremlins had taken roost in my computer overnight. All I'd done was hibernate it. So as of 6 a.m. on Sunday, I was struggling to get things working at all. In the middle of this challenge, just after 7 a.m, Brenda Eldred sent me a message. She warned me that Michelle had got a slot on BBC Radio Northampton in just 10 minutes' time. So Michelle, if you're listening, if that's your idea of a low-key launch, then please give me plenty of warning when you decide to go full throttle. My poor ticker can't take it. Anyway, my grumblings aside, the team did an amazing job. We managed to broadcast live and save the recording for later. At the peak, we had 55 computers, phones or tablets listening in, and overall, 68 different computers or phones tuned in. So if you think that some of those households may well have had 2 people or even 3 listening, that's a fantastic congregation for our parish church. I found out later that we'd had listeners in Peterborough, Newcastle and Lincoln. So John Eldred was on the music, Ken Oust was on the mics, and I was at the back on the mixing desk, frantically trying to wave at them when I needed them to make some changes. So Michelle, I hope we didn't distract the ministry team too much as they led the service in these unusual times. We'll try and refine it next week. Now another 8 people joined the WhatsApp group yesterday, and another 3 joined by email. And this is excellent, but the council's still concerned that they're not reaching everyone in the village. So this coming week, we'll see a concerted push to reach all households. We really need to ensure that every household understands what's happening during this emergency and how it will affect them. Now, Naomi and the team at the Star and Garter were working flat out yesterday with takeaway meals, which is amazing. Demand was so high that she even started to run out of some meals. Now that's a fantastic response to the call for support, so thank you to everyone. She's placed new orders with her suppliers, but is now going to be tweaking the menus daily to suit the ingredients that she's been delivered. So we're working out the best way of posting an ever-changing menu. Gosh, this is going to be a challenge. It is really exciting, actually, isn't it? One of our residents in self-isolation was brave enough to post a request for help yesterday. And 2 minutes later, Stephen Simmons, Mortal Lane, stepped in immediately and offered to help. That's another amazing response. Thank you again. Now, Mark Hunter went to Waitrose yesterday to propose the idea of a letter of authorisation and identity for any volunteers shopping on behalf of the elderly and vulnerable. Well, the duty manager accepted Mark's proposal with only minor caveats. And so Joanne Card was at Asda when I messaged her with the news, and she made the same proposition to her management. They agreed too. So this is excellent. We might need this scheme quite soon. Now, Mark is working on the details and more will come out later on. On the subject of shopping, Chris Pentland had a revelation yesterday. What's actually in my cupboards already? Do I need everything I was planning to buy? The figures yesterday showed that over £1 billion worth of food has been stockpiled in the last week, causing some people to go short and our food banks to suffer. Many shops still saw some crazy scenes yesterday, but signs of normality were returning, especially with the smaller, independent shops, which were now well stocked. So please hold your nerve, folks. There is plenty of food in the system. Sarah asked yesterday, was actually pleased to report that she'd received donations of food, cash for the Russian Food Bank. So thank you again. And just when I thought everything had gone quiet, my phone went into overdrive shortly before 7 p.m. last night. At the end of the service, Michelle had asked people to light a candle in their front window as a gesture of solidarity on Mothering Sunday. She sent a reminder out at 6 p.m. and I was overwhelmed by how many people in the group responded with photos. And then Ken and Sarah went out around the village and saw many windows with candles lit. Now, people often criticise the negative sides of social media, but I think today has shown the good side. So why am I in the village hall and not the church this morning? Well, in part, I realise that I've spent more hours in our church in the last 4 days than I have in the entire 33 years in the village. And actually, I'd like to think old Michael Folger is having a big smile at this, wherever he is. He spent the final 20 years of his life trying to get me into church on a Sunday. And he only managed it eventually on the day I delivered his eulogy. But now it looks as if I'll be spending every Sunday in the church broadcasting for the foreseeable future. Father Grant always used to say to me, Adrian, God moves in mysterious ways. And well, I'm beginning to wonder. So my second reason is that the high-speed broadband in the church is replicated in the village hall. We've got two community hubs from GigaClear, and it's important that we can use both for emergency broadcasts. I'm testing this one in the village today. However, the main reason for being here today is as part of the civil emergency plan for the village. Most of you won't realise it, but our parish council has an emergency plan designed to protect the village in a period of crisis. They've never had to invoke the plan before, but we did come close last year when the arsonists set fire to the barn in Bidwell Lane. The fire and rescue service were within minutes of losing control of that fire as it was so fierce. And the evacuation of Bidwell Lane was a real possibility. Now, in the event of an evacuation, the village hall has always had an important role as an emergency reception centre. It's equipped to keep evacuees warm and to serve hot and food drinks if required. There's even an emergency phone line and a hookup for an emergency generator. We've got two internet connections, both backed up by a battery backup. And the trustees of the village hall and the parish council jointly finance these emergency facilities on behalf of the village. Now, the Prime Minister's announcements last night were very clear. Starting on Tuesday, some vulnerable members of our village will be receiving letters directly from the NHS. The letters to those affected should all be delivered by Sunday. Please don't contact your GP to assess whether you are on the list. This is being handled centrally by the NHS. Now, villagers receiving letters will be required to stay at home, not leaving their property under any circumstances for 12 weeks. This is to shield them from the virus and prevent any illness they might catch overwhelming the NHS. Food and medicines will be delivered to these households by coordinated action from the army and their local councils. Now, this might be worrying for some households, but please remember you're not alone. So last night, the parish council invoked the parish emergency plan and they requisitioned the village hall for use as the coordination centre for the emergency. And the trustees of the village hall immediately suspended all remaining booked activities, public and private. The access codes for the clubs and societies are being suspended, and access codes for the emergency coordination team will be enabled today. We'll be contacting all those involved directly. So as the situation unfolds, the village hall will be the central point where any emergency supplies can be delivered ready for distribution to households by volunteers if required. It'll also hold the key planning and coordination documents so they're not stored in the house of someone who might fall ill. Now, this might sound all a little scary for some of you, but please be reassured that your parish council has already planned for such an emergency and we have the facilities in the village to deal with the challenge. I hope that all communities are as well prepared, but I have to say I'm very relieved to be living in this village at this time. I know the support mechanisms are in place. But even better than that has been the sense of community and support that everyone has demonstrated during the last 7 days. With this sense of community and the sound emergency plan, I know we can weather this storm. Now, I'll keep you posted as the situation develops during the week. And later on in the week, Ray Daniels will broadcast on behalf of the Parish Council, reviewing where we've got to and what will happen next. So in the meantime, please enjoy the spring day, but above all, keep your distance and keep safe. Thanks for listening.